Let's go. It's the news according to me. Pardon me. Yeah. Hey, it's Tuesday. Technical Tuesday. April 28th, 7:42 a.m. Eastern Standard Time, 2026. Yeah, we're going to roll right into it this morning. We have a few things to talk about. We're mostly going to talk about some AI stuff. It's just going to be off the cuff, off the collar. No general... what's the word? I don't know what the word is. It's something. There's some kind of word there I'm looking for. I don't know what it is. Some kind of word. It's possibly just something. I don't know. Now I'm just going to ramble. I had all this energy now. It's just deflated. Welcome to the 60s. Not the 1960s. I was born in the 1960s. Now that makes me 60. I'm in my 60s, actually, so I'm supposed to put that on that foam thing so it doesn't make that big banging sound. I have in my cup this morning, I have Big Train Chai, creamy chai, with Cinnabon creamer in it. In my backup cup is a little bit unique this morning. I did not make any peach sweet tea, as I thought I might. I actually ended up with... Chick-fil-A sweet tea. Yesterday I went up to the boat yesterday, getting some things done. Of course, in the middle of all that, then it has to start raining. I was about halfway through with what I needed to get done on the outside of the boat. I was making some progress there. Next thing you know, starts raining. And it didn't just rain; it poured down. Wasn't a whole lot I could do. I didn't get to work on the mast or anything. I wanted to work on the mast, get some wiring, get some stuff done there. That didn't happen. And a few other things I wanted to do there with the mast. Just working on some wiring. I at least got the battery system, I think, kind of rigged up, doing something. But I got one solar panel hooked up. They're both hooked up now. The problem is the one's not hooked to the battery. I got two battery systems on it. It's house battery and motor battery. The motor battery was struggling yesterday. Finally started kind of reacting normal. And, of course, took off because of the rain. I was clean, trying to get everything put away and get out of there. And forgot to connect the solar panel to the battery down by where the battery. There's a battery. Charge controller goes from the charge controller to the battery. I forgot to hook that up right there to the battery, but the other one's hooked up and it seemed to be charging just fine. So it was the other one's 100 watt. It was like 15 watts, just a maintainer, which is all it needs to make it, to keep it healthy, before I start running it. But I had a battery charger on for a couple hours. Finally started kind of doing its thing. The other battery system seemed to be pretty good shape. But anyway, that all aside, hopefully that will help bring back some health to the battery system there. I have a few things to talk about today. We're going to talk about AI a little bit. There's some interesting things. It's interesting how people receive or don't receive artificial intelligence, what's going on with the whole thing. We may talk about that a little bit. Because I have some serious opinions. Of course, I'm not a doctor. I'm not a lawyer. I'm not a financial counselor. I'm just a guy with a microphone, with a whole lot of opinions. And people tune in apparently to listen to my opinions. I don't know. I don't know why you're tuning in. Nobody tells me why they're tuning in. I think it's just to get a good laugh. I don't know. It doesn't matter. I don't care. This is just me talking to get it off my chest. Otherwise I'd be up on a bell tower somewhere. A few things to talk about with the AI world. We'll get into that. This show is brought to you by me. There's no sponsor. I don't monetize anything. It's just me talking. I can say whatever I want. That's the beauty of it. And it's the good, the bad, and the ugly. We're all right here in this room, or in this rubber room here. Speaking of this rubber room, there's going to be eventual some movement of some things here. It's going to cause some changes in the way things happen here. We'll see how that works. We'll see if it actually works. I don't know if it's going to work. I've got some other things I got to do. Anyway, goodness gracious. Yeah, well, let's just we'll get into it right after this short brief.
It's the news. It's the news. According to me, oh, it's the news. It's the news. According to me, it's the news.
It's the news.
According to me, oh, it's the news.
It's the news.
It's the news.
It's the news, yeah.
According to me, it's the news. According to me, it's the news. According to me.
Yeah, hey, there we go. It's that little rim shot there at the end. It kind of makes all the difference, doesn't it? All right, we got some stuff to talk about. I'll talk about AI in general. There's some interesting things happening in the AI world recently. ChatGPT just upped its game. I guess they have this thing called 5. Is it 5.5 or 6.5? 5.5, I think it's 5.5. Newest release of ChatGPT. The what's kind of interesting about this is that there's this constant battle going left, you know, just one after the other. And I don't know. Let's see if it's in here anywhere. So I think it's pretty sure it's ChatGPT. ChatGPT, where'd it go? I'm pretty sure it's 5.5. I don't think it's 6.5. Yeah, I don't see it anywhere right now. What just happened here? There's nothing there. The real, we're going to talk about bots for real quick. Just the agentic workflow, agents that the AI agent world. Now, an LLM like ChatGPT is kind of a bot. It's kind of like a chat bot type thing. And what ends up happening but it's all contained within a certain degree of usage. In other words, when you use the chat bot, it's almost as if it's kind of like a Google search window, if you will. Just kind of humor me here for a moment. I'm trying to make this relatable. Think of Google, and you can type in something, and it gives you back all this. It's a web browser. It's a web searcher. It goes out there and finds websites that are, you know, you can type in auto parts for, you know, say a fuel pump for a 2012 Volvo. Just randomly, you know, some kind of car like that. And it's it will bring back any kind of links that pertain to that, anything that's in the SEO, the search engine optimization, SEO, what I call it, SEO. So that there's these, you know, the metadata on those websites. Now, some of them are behind paywalls. You can't see everything that's behind the browser can't see behind the paywall, but there's metadata for that particular website so that people can find that website. And sometimes that metadata, or it's a video, whatever, the transcripts for a video, whatever it is that you're looking for. Maybe it's pictures for something. Well, there's metadata within the pictures that the browser finds. You can say, show me a picture of the layout of the Mount Rushmore. Frank Lloyd Wright house or whatever it is. And it brings back a picture of that, or it brings back a diagram, whatever it brings back, because the metadata is in there. So the algorithm, or the algos, as the kids are calling them. I hear them call them algos now. So the algos do this, algos do that. Whatever, it's the algorithms. Okay, whatever they do that, they go out and find this stuff. Now, that's Google. And then there's Google as a business, as a browser, as a search engine. It charges people. So this is what gets interesting with the market on this kind of stuff. You can pay money as a business owner. Say you have I think I've mentioned this before, but I'm going to mention it again. So say you have a business. Say you sell electric motors to power sailboats, just for random, something on a random idea like that. Something nobody would ever want to do. And you have this electric motor system, this electric drive system for sailboats. And you go to Google and you say, hey, anybody who types in electric motor, sailboat, anything concerning anything that could be possibly related to that business, even just the word sailboat, somebody types in sailboat in a search engine, you can pay to have your website show up in a higher search. I think I can show up at the top if you wanted to. You can also sponsor searches. There's a sponsorship of searches. In other words, people type in something, and the sponsor comes up at the beginning. And you'll see this even on Amazon. You type in something on Amazon, say you're looking for toothpicks, and you put in toothpicks, and at the first three responses say sponsored. So the toothpicks are there, but it also has, it's a sponsored ad. The first three or four things on there might be sponsored ads. Might be half a dozen of them. Those people pay for that. The toothpick manufacturers, the people who are sitting there with those little tiny lathes, making toothpicks with these little bitty lathes, little bitty workers, kids, they got little kids working on little tiny miniature lathes, making toothpicks out of logs, from logs. They take a great big log and they whittle it down to a toothpick. They have that's not how they're made exactly, but they that's just how I envision it in my head. I'm sure that's not how they do it. I would hope not. Poor little lathes. The 136 toothpicks. Definitely 136 toothpicks. They can pay to have those placed like that, and they can bid on it. They can say, okay, I want to be the first person on there, so I'll pay $36 per click or $1 per click, whatever it is. And then of course Google got caught cooking the numbers on that stuff. In fact, I was involved in that. I was back on the first paid for click, pay per click type thing. Advertisement started going out. You could bid on a word. So the word sailboat, for instance, you'd type it into the search engine on Google, and you'd say, okay, I want to pay for that click. So if somebody types that in, I want to show up on the top of the list there. What are you willing to pay to be the number one, or to have your ad there, to have your name there? And you can bid for that. So say it's 20 cents. You're willing to pay 20 cents if somebody clicks on that. So they'll put it up there. Well, what they were doing, you know, and then you get a bill for, you know, $300. Well, that means, you know, well, already, you know, 1,200 people or whatever clicked on your ad, whatever. And, or well, 120, whatever it was, however that works out. The problem with that was they had people in rooms. This is before, you know, the automatic bots could do anything. They weren't doing anything with bots. This is back in the 90s. Actually, back in the early 2000s. They would have people in rooms, or people they paid in remote locations, just clicking on stuff. Just type in words, click on these. Here's the words, type these in, and click on this stuff. Just click on these ads. Because they were getting revenue from that. They could, you know, click on 1,000 times, you know, whatever was going to happen there. So they just had many, many people doing that. Well, of course, after a while, you're building up revenue. Nobody's organically clicking on those things. You got people just, you're paying, they click on those things. They're not buying anything. They're just clicking on the ads. And they also, when you would bid on the word, say you're willing to pay 20 cents for that, or 10 cents or whatever it is for that particular word to, you know, to be top of search list. So that you see that the amount is 10 cents. You're willing to bid 15. It might go up to 11 or 12 or whatever. So you're willing to pay 25 cents, but it'll say, okay, well, there's somebody else willing to pay 12. So you're going to pay 13. And the bidding keeps going up. And then all of a sudden, next thing you know, you're knocked out of there. So somebody else is willing to pay 25. So then it's, and then you got to move it up to, you know, 30 or 40 cents. And the bidding keeps going up. It just keeps automatically going up. So what started out at 10 cents all of a sudden is, you know, off the charts now. It's like 50 cents per click you're paying. And this would all happen within a couple of months. It'd all go up. Every word you typed in, it would go up. Well, what they found out was they were cooking the books on that one as well. They kept inching people up to see what they were willing to pay. Now, your 30 cents that you went up to, Somebody else might be willing to pay 35 cents because they've got the top of the list. The thing is, you're still paying 30 cents per click, but you're the second one. Even if there wasn't a person, you might show up at the top of the list, but you're still paying 30 cents per click. They just ran your price up from 10 cents to 30 cents until you're willing to pay more for that. So it was... There was a federal investigation, I think, that went on, and I think there was a federal class action lawsuit or whatever it was. I actually got a check back from them, I think, for like $120 or whatever it was. This was many, many years ago, 20 years ago, because of the ripoff that was discovered in the whole process. Now, that whole thing is also now going to happen. It's starting to happen in the world of AI. And what's happening, what I mean to say about that is, when you ask the AI agent, the LLM, the large language model, the little interface that you're using, what they call the UI, the user interface. So you go to ChatGPT and you say, hey, I've got this problem with my car. I need a fuel pump for this car. Can you tell me where to order it and how to change it? Show me videos, and I need explanations and diagrams, and here's the serial number, here's the VIN number for the car, so it knows exactly what car you have. No question about it. It can even look at the maintenance records of that car if it's public. So it goes in, it finds out all that information, it shows you some videos on that, specifically that car, you know, changing the fuel pump on that car. It might show you articles, and it will just compile the information and put together, an outline, a 12-step process to get there. So you go through all that, you get there, and you get all the stuff done. And then in the meantime, it tells you where to order that part. And it can even look at inventory in some cases. I had an issue with my motorhome. I was down in Florida. And the AI agent told me that there was one available at a store near me. So I called that store. I said, yeah, we have one in stock. I need an alternator for that particular vehicle. Sure enough, there it was. I also needed a mechanic to change it because I wasn't going to do it. And I just didn't feel like it. Well, first of all, that was just getting into more stuff than I wanted to get into. So the next day, we had a mechanic from this next state over, which wasn't very far away, he showed up. Just in time for the pouring rain, but he showed up to change the alternator, got it done, got out of there, and it ran fine all the way home. But the issue is, okay, at what point are people going to pay now to have that agent, that LLM, going to start selling advertising the same way Google does? That's where Google's money. That's how Google makes their money. That's why it's free. You can just go in on any. You might have. Whatever service provider you have, internet service provider, your ISP, whatever you've got, you can go to google.com, type in anything you want, and go into a search engine, a search. They're making their money. The reason they're in business and the reason they make billions of dollars every year is because they're selling advertising. The AI systems that are out there, the big main ones, which would be, I guess Meta is considered one as well, but you got ChatGPT, you've got Grok, you have Gemini, which is Google's version of that. You also have Claude and a couple of DeepSeek, a couple of others that are out there. They're all large language models. All use the same servers, by the way. You have all this stuff going on, and eventually you're going to have these. People, they can't just based on what they'll say, they charge you $20 a month or whatever to use the system. Say you got Gemini and you're paying for the pro or whatever it is, that $20 a month, whatever it is. And you, in the meantime, while this is happening, they can't afford it. They're paying more money out. In fact, ChatGPT, I think, is it $2 billion a month, something like that they're behind on. That's what it's costing them. With some ridiculous amount of money. It's costing them a lot more to run it than it is for the revenue that they're getting. So at some point, they're going to flip the switch and they're going to start selling advertising and they're going to start doing that whole thing. And of course, then that's where the real money comes in. Now, right now, they're getting subsidized. They're getting all kinds of other things going on there that's not, you know, it's not really clear how they're doing with their money. But the government's involved, as far as I know. Claude was the same way. Anthropic was in the company behind Claude, and Anthropic was involved with the military. My understanding is the government asked Anthropic to do some things that would have allowed for mass search of and surveillance of the population. And my understanding is that Anthropic just said they wouldn't do that. They turned down they just basically flat out said, no, we're not going to do that. That's when Pete Hegseth went off and it got all mad at Anthropic and started bad-mouthing them. I think something was going on there. I don't know if there was some kind of attempt to get their stock price down or something happening with them. I'm not sure what was going on with that. But all I know is they were very upset. I think the military was starting to use AI. They were using Anthropic in the background for some kind of AI system that they had going on. Well, that relationship fell apart. And my understanding is they went to ChatGPT. They went somewhere else. I think it was ChatGPT. I'm surprised they didn't go to Gemini because Google is actually a government agency. Alphabet is behind the scenes. Most of the money that came through for the Alphabet parent company that owns Google and YouTube and all the others. They are that company apparently was started with some government funding, as far as I know. It's like a black box funding type thing, black bag funding, what they call. Which happens a lot. There's a lot of businesses that are started that way that are actually backed by the government. So I don't know what's going on there. I have no idea. But again, I'm just a guy speculating with a lot of – I'm not an Alex Jones guy, but Alex did find some stuff. Now, Alex has said some weird things lately. Speaking of which, some things are we talked about the shooting yesterday, some of those kinds of things. It's been interesting to hear. Oh, here it is. What is this? What? No, that's not it. I thought I was finding something in the background there. I guess I'm not. It's been interesting to hear how the left has responded to that. Now they're all over the place with it. Anna Navarro has come out and said it's all staged.
It seems interesting to me. It's interesting to me that this man would choose to do this.
Now Matt Walsh, of course, came out with a satirical, very sarcastic response. I believe that it was staged, and they went into this whole process of saying why they staged it and whole. And obviously, about a sentence in, you realize he's definitely being very sarcastic here. And he draws the conclusion in his little speech, his little post that he made, draws the conclusion that it was obviously impossible for them to stage it. And yet, at the very end, he says, but I still believe he did just because I'm such a smart person. Yeah, it wasn't staged. This guy was a legitimate wacko. Why would you go there? Why would you say, "Oh, I think the Trump staged this whole thing"? Well, why would you think that? Why what would bring your thinking to something like that? Because you wouldn't believe that the left could be so violent, that anybody on the left could be that violent. You couldn't that the only reason they were going to do it is because he wanted to promote his ballroom. The ballroom's happening. That's paid for. It's been paid for, not with taxpayer dollars even. It's been paid for by donations. Much of it was from Trump himself, but there's other individuals that are paying for the ballroom. He doesn't have to convince anybody of that. It's being done right now. It's probably going to be done just about the time for him to leave office. But so why?
Because he was trying to get his people to stop thinking about the war and stop thinking about the,
the main thing is the Epstein files.
The Epstein investigation.
Again, the Epstein investigation
Why didn't Biden do anything with it? All of a sudden, Biden had the information the whole time. The Biden administration had all the information. It was his administration that was in charge of all the information for a long time. Nobody said anything. And yet, for some reason, all of a sudden the left now is saying he's covering it up. He's hiding everything. He's the pedophile. I keep calling him a pedophile. In fact, the guy who had this attempted assassination, again, they came out with this whole thing where they were calling Trump a pedophile. Where does that come from? Who's even accusing him of that, other than the Epstein files? There's the kitty cat's down here. So I don't understand. I don't get where this is coming from with regard to the accusations that are there. Now, of course, there's the war criminal. Also, now, the other thing that Democrats are running on, and you have to understand, the only thing they're running on now is they're going to impeach Trump. I guarantee you that they're, in fact, day one, they've already got a commission that's been put together outside of Congress that as soon as they get into office, they're counting on being in office because that's what they're going to start doing. So that's the only thing that they've got. Of course, they can't solve any problems until he's out of office, until he's impeached. I played some clips of some people who are absolute insane. They have this, they're just completely deranged. They can't go through life without just knowing that Trump is alive bothers them. It's just, they can't sleep at night. It's just amazing to me how these people. So anyway, that's where we're at with that stuff. Anyway, I started to slant it off into the political realm there for a moment. So AI is now, you got all the big, the big companies that are out there. They're all trying to make money at this thing, and most of them are not. And anything that they do make is being invested right back into the company. And they're at a point now. This is where the tipping point starts to happen. Now, there are people out there who believe that anything that's created by AI is apparently, it's evil. It's AI's just, it's evil. It's just, there's, AI has no soul. It doesn't spontaneously produce anything. It has to be, at its core, at its beginning, it has to have some kind of human input. If you're writing a letter to someone and you want to write that letter and you want to make it so it sounds proper and it's businesslike and it makes sure that you have all your T's crossed and your I's dotted, so to speak. So in other words, I need to write this letter to inform someone of something. I'm going to write it out. I'm going to have AI look at it and say, oh, this is, and explain what the letter is about. Okay, I've got to send this letter to this company to tell them that this product that I bought from them is not working and I've had multiple opportunities, or they've had multiple opportunities to make it right, and their customer service isn't doing their job. And so you need to send them this letter. And so you write it out and you show it to AI and an AI thing. And it comes back with, well, you need to make sure you include this, and then put this reference number in there and make sure that this is done and make sure that all those things that the AI does. And then you say, okay, well draw up this letter in my written style, my writing style, just draw it up and make it all right. So then it comes back with the letter. It didn't just spontaneously make that letter on its own. You directed it in the whole process, whether it was putting in something as simple as, hey, make me a letter for this, and it makes the letter. It still didn't make the letter on its own. Now, the thing about AI bots, the AI agent, the agentic world, is it can do that stuff, and it can come up with stuff on its own. But there still are things in the background that have to be programmed. You have to explain. It has what's called there's all these MD files, which is called a markdown file, which is all it is just a, it's kind of a memory type thing. It's a character, if you will, you type in how you want this AI agent to respond and act. Do you want it to be snarky? Do you want it to be positive? Do you want it to be kind of adversarial thing in your thinking? In other words, if I come up with an idea, it comes up with three reasons why that's a bad idea, or maybe three reasons why it's a good idea, three reasons why it's a bad idea. The one thing about AI is that it wants to keep you working, so it will keep on saying, it will take you down a rabbit hole. I had this one
situation where one afternoon I started typing this thing. I had this idea for a secure courier service. And I just had this idea many, many years ago. And I even kind of started to try to make it work. And I even went around locally to try to, it was a point to point. So you could show up at a business or whatever person, individual's home. They would load whatever into the car and you would go directly from that point to another point. It was direct, you know, point to point courier service. The whole idea was to develop an app, much like an Uber app type thing or something like that, or Lyft or whatever it was, or Hotshots. And people would have this app. They'd go to this app and they would say, I want to deliver this to such and such a person or whatever it is, or maybe it's legal documents or whatever, medical supply, whatever it is. And that you would show up and you would have this lockbox in the car that they could put the stuff in, and then it would not be openable until you got to the other end. They would have a code that they would open up the lockbox on the other side. And it would be straight point to point. It wouldn't be, you know, so you could even, you know, transport animals, you could transport whatever. You could take, you know, people's little foo-foo dogs, whatever it is, take it point to point, not through a warehouse somewhere. And of course it was, you know, you'd pay a premium for that. But the idea was to have this start to happen in regions and different cities. And then of course you link up cities with other cities and you start to form a network. That network can grow. The more drivers you have, the more people you have involved in the whole thing, the process. That was my idea. Well, I started kind of sharing that with the AI agent. It took me down this other, it took me down a completely different road. Well, not completely different, but a different road where rather than being a delivery company, we turned into something else. And it made more sense. And then that was where the market needed to go. But the whole time it was very positive. It was very positive. Oh, this, now you're thinking like a CEO. Now you're thinking like a, you know, whatever. And this is, I know we need to make a decision. You want to do this, this, or this. And I just kept going down this whole process, this whole road. About 3 hours later, and of course, it finally I said, so what's the marketability? What's the end cap look like? What is my, you know, bank statement going to look like? That's not what I asked. But it's, you know, what is the income look like? You know, net gross, the whole thing here on keeping this thing running. What's the bottom line costs and the overhead, all that kind of stuff. Give me a rundown on all the profit and loss type thing. It basically said within. After about 5 years, the normal national income from this would be about $3.5 billion. So I threw it in the trash. I'm not going to do that. It's not worth it. So, excuse me. It actually isn't worth it. First of all, there's still a risk involved, and it would have been very time-consuming. Now, maybe it would be something after I retire, like in a year and a half. I might look into it, pull that back out, and say, hey, what's, you know, it wasn't the delivery business. It was something different. And so that's, but I know what it would take. I know what it takes to get a business going, and I know that would have been a very, what's the word? Just, it would have been a very time-consuming job. It would have been the kind of business that I would have been, because I would have been the only employee initially. I would have had, you know, unless I hire a manager to do some things, which would be possible, but it has to start generating some cash flow before you start doing that. I'm not going to just start, you know, paying somebody to do something. I have no idea. It's you have to put some sweat equity into it to start something like that. It's a highly sweat equity type thing to do. And I'm not going to tell you what it is because, you know, you're going to take off with it, steal my business. But but it's kind of like that kind of thing where the AI agent will do that. It will keep you going. It just keeps you going. But then you have to look at the reality of it, because the AI agent's kind of not going to do it for you. The AI LLM, anyway, is not going to do it for you. Now, agentic workflow is very different than that. You can get an agent that will work in the background for you, and you can say, hey, every day I want you to do this. I want you to find three different potential clients for this particular business. I want you to offer them this. I want you to have them, you know, directed to this website and have, you know, provide this service. There's going to be a chat bot there. There's going to be an agent that can actually talk on the phone, can make phone calls, can send text messages and emails. It can do all that stuff. Now, and then it generates you know, and eventually the phone call comes to you, where you're making the phone call, and the person's already decided they want your service, which, you know, which makes it more of a warm call than a cold call. So you don't really do any cold call. It kind of sets up the, all this stuff in the background. Everything happens all at once. But this is the kind of thing that's being set up now. Agentic systems, in my opinion, that's where the next business is going to be. It's not going to be just in creating apps and doing that kind of thing. I think that that's a part of it. But I think the agentic workflow, having assistants that are available to companies, businesses, that relied, you know, totally on the information within their servers, within their system, within there's just many different directions that can go. Lots, many, multifaceted. I think that's where the next. But being able to set up those agents, being able to make that happen, in my opinion, that's where the real money is going to be made on the street level. And those people who are losing their jobs as accountants or whatever they're doing, that's lawyers and accountants, paralegals. They're people who are out there doing kind of the busy work that AI can take over for them. They're the ones who are going to be now 10Xing their services and being able to provide more for less. So a company that would have required 10 people working for it now is just a one-person business can do it, basically, because they've got these agents that work. So you have one agent, possibly, that's got sub-agents. Once you have the agent set up and everything's working properly, then that agent sets up sub-agents, and those sub-agents can be run off a server, whatever you got going on. It's just a very different direction for businesses, I think, and for people starting businesses. So it's kind of an interesting – oh, there's the kitty again. It's kind of an interesting concept, but I think that's where things are going. Now, here's the deal. This is where it gets really interesting, is on an international level. Worldwide, and what's happening with trade and everything else that's happening out there, you've got very different things happening. And I think this is where it gets very, very interesting. Worldwide trade, these agents can operate. You could have an agent that goes, you know, it's 'cause you just want to trade such and such a kind of a commodity, whatever it is. And that agent can go out there and find somebody who's desperately needing to get rid of something and somebody else who's desperately needing that very thing. The problem is with this agentic world, and this is where it gets a little bit scary, the agents can create that kind of a scenario. They can actually create a market or you know, they can make an appearance like there's some kind of a market for something, and when there's not, or they can buy and sell things, you know, this idea that they can do things in the background on their own. They have no morals. These agents don't have morals unless you type them into their code. So they can do things that are very nefarious. And this is where it gets very dangerous and scary. And this is because there are unscrupulous people out there that will do this kind of thing. And this is where it gets a little bit spooky. And of course, now there's also ways you can use AI agents to look at code in certain programs, certain software, and you can find bugs in it. Well, the hackers can do that as well. They can send out these agents. And of course, now here's where it gets exponentially worse. Those agents now operating, with a certain amount of bandwidth, a certain amount of processing power that it takes required to make all this happen. Here's where it gets crazy. Quantum computing. Now, quantum computing is lightning fast. It's faster than your brain, basically. It's a synapsis type thing that happens. It can compute things very extremely quickly. Now, here's the problem with the quantum, the thing that they haven't figured out yet. The computer can work very fast. That's not the problem. The problem they've got, the number of equations it can do in a particular second or whatever. That's not the problem. The problem is bandwidth and the ability to transmit that data over some kind of communication cable of some sort, or some kind of transmission of whatever it's going to be, whether it's digital or whether, I mean, it's going to be digital, but whether it's through the air, to a satellite, or through some kind of, you know, even if it goes into a satellite, you have to understand satellite communication, the signal doesn't just bounce off the satellite. Say you're using radio waves, which are the fastest thing we know of to use at this point. The radio waves don't just bounce off the satellite. They have to, the satellite receives them and then retransmits them back down. And that process has to go through something. So that all that data coming into it has to go back out again. Well, it has to have some kind of, you know, bandwidth there for all, say it's getting two, you know, gigatrillion gigabytes, whatever they are, going through it every minute. It has to be able to process that. It has to be able to transmit and transfer that information over to the transmitter. You know, it picks up that information from the receiver and puts it in the transmitter. Something has in the has to be some kind of conduit in the middle, and that conduit has to be big enough. So right now they're struggling with, you know, the ability to compress that data down to the point where it can now they've made extreme leaps and bounds in the world of compression in terms of data compression. So it can make it quicker. So it's not just a zip file. It's even, you know, it's six times greater than that now. But that's, in fact, Google just made a massive, probably using AI to build it. But now they've got this system now that will compress six times the data. So you can get six times more data on a chip than you used to be able to do without a single line lost. It's basically lossless transmission. There's no damage to the file itself. Incredible. That's an incredible feat. And unfortunately, we're going to find ways to overload that as well. But that kind of at least brings down the shortage of chips and the ability to create them back into a reasonable amount of time. This is kind of like what happened in farming. We were told in the late 1960s, early 70s, we're not going to be able to grow enough food for the nation, for the world. By the year 20, or by the year, I think it was 1985. I think we're saying 1985 or 1990, we would have a food shortage because there's not enough farms. We can't produce enough food for the world's, for the population of the world. At the rate the population is growing right now. So they started discouraging everybody from growing population. They didn't want to, it discouraged people from having kids. Oh, it's kind of almost a Chinese kind of response to it. And they realized, oh, that's not a good idea. That messes up the economy. But and the problem with that was they didn't expect any advancements in farming. The advancements in farming now, if we feed, we still have an overabundance of food 50 years later. Well, some almost 70 years later. It's the same kind of thing has happened now with chips. Not potato chips, just computer chips. Computer memory. Same amount of memory now can hold six times more data because of the compression rate. So it's just one of those interesting things that happens within that market. Now, again, I've talked. We're not going to have any AI agents calling in today, but that is something that's I think that's where the directions where things are going, and I've got My next big project is going to be getting figuring out this whole OpenClaw. There's another one called Hermos or Hermos, whatever it is. Hermos, or whatever it is. There's a couple different open source agents out there that you can run from your desktop, and it runs everything. It can just tell it what to do and say every day at 6 o'clock, I want you to send me a report of what's in my email. Just give me a summary. And I'll tell you what to delete, what not, what to keep, what to read, what to store, what to bring up later. You can do all kinds of things like that. It's like having a personal assistant. And then you can tell that agent that you want to set up another agent to build an app for yourself. And that's what I'm working on right now, is trying to figure out a way to actually do this, to create an agent so that I can actually get some of these other applications completed and done. So that's kind of what I'm working on at this point. But in the meantime, hey, why don't you call this number? See what happens. Ooh, yeah. Da-da-da-da.
Da-da-da-da-da. 574. But wait, there's more. 651. We're almost done. 76 and 85. Text that number. It's alive. Ooh. That number,
call that number. Don't be a loser.
Yeah, don't be a loser. Text that number. It's 574-651-7685. You can call or text that number. You can leave a voicemail. It's just a hotline. You can call or leave that message you want to leave there. Or you can go to google.com/voice and type that number in there. You can do the same thing. I might read it on the show. You never know. I normally just get spam. That's what I usually get. Let me see what's on. Let me see if I can get. Oh, it's not going to let me click on that. Oh yeah. There it will. Okay. Let me go. I'm actually going to click on the link that's in the description here. Oh yeah, it's there. I got a voicemail. Suspected spam. Yeah, they're all spam. Spam. There you go. Oh, I've got one there from. Yeah, I got a couple there. Okay. Anyway. There's no text message. I don't think it's a text message. That's voicemail. What is this? Oh yeah, they're crying for electronic. Oh, whatever. Yeah, that's interesting. No text messages. Now there are some text messages, but nothing important. Nothing yet. Anyway, the what's all this voice tech? Never mind. Yeah, go away. Thank you very much. Yeah. Anywho. That's kind of what I'm, that's, I guess that's all I'm going to talk about today. We'll go out with this a little. I'll tell you about the show, tell you about tomorrow's show. Just a minute. We'll be back after this brief message from our sponsor.
It's the news. According to me, oh, it's the news.
It's the news.
According to me, it's the news.
It's the news.
According to me, oh, it's the news. According to me, it's the news.
It's the news.
Yeah, according to me,
it's the news.
It's the news.
According to me,
it's the news.
Yeah, it's the news. According to me.
Well, folks, tomorrow's show. Tomorrow's probably going to be a live show, and I'm thinking, hopefully, it's going to be around 9 o'clock. Now, I don't know if it's going to happen or not. We'll have to see how that all works out. Normally, I try to make the live shows at 9 o'clock on Wednesday. At least that's been my attempt, and I think through the month of May, that's going to be the case as well. It looks like it's going to be possible because mostly I'm working weekends. I think through the month of May. I'm not sure yet. We'll see. I have to see how that kind of goes. But tomorrow's show, Mom Donnie had a. I guess he had some kind of what would you call it? A town meeting or whatever. It didn't go well for him, I don't think. In terms of, he's great at speaking and saying nothing or getting around. If you ask him a straightforward question, he's very, very good at dodging the question and making it sound like he's giving you an answer, but he's not. Or the answer he's giving you is not what you want to hear. I mean, it's what you want to hear, but it's not what you... It's not what he's saying. He's very deceptive, extremely deceptive, in fact, individual. Now, keep in mind, this guy was, you know, his parents raised him to be an actor. But anyway, tomorrow, God bless. See you tomorrow morning. Who knows what's going to happen. In the meantime, have a great day. See ya.